Wow. Okay, so you're really diving into some deep stuff with this Bergson deep dive. This collection of excerpts you sent in, it's got my brain firing already. Bergson Gibson, a little holographic theory thrown in there. We're about to unpack some serious challenges to how we usually see, well, reality, really.
You know what always gets me about Bergson is he's not just making arguments. It's like he wants you to feel what he's saying. You know, it's not just what's true. It's how we experience time, perception, even memory. All of it's connected.
Yeah, that experience piece feels key. And before we even get into the excerpts themselves, we keep seeing these terms, duration, intuition. What clicks for you when you hear those? Like, what do they bring to mind?
People hear duration and they think, oh, that's just a fancy word for time. But Bergson's got something deeper going on. Think of it this way. Remembering a vivid memory, like from childhood, versus just knowing, say, the year something happened. Totally different.
One's a feeling, the other's just a date on a calendar.
Exactly. That feeling, that's duration for Bergson. He'd say our usual way of measuring time, chopping it up into seconds and minutes, misses how we actually live it, you know?
Which I guess goes right to how he challenges the idea of reality then. Because if our experience of time is already so shifty.
Exactly. And that's where intuition comes in. It's not just gut feelings, though. It's like a rigorous way of grasping reality that goes beyond just logic, but we'll get to that.
Okay, I can tell we're just getting started. So you sent in this excerpt on Bergson and Gibson, and it's about how, for Bergson, perception is action. That's not how we usually think about our senses.
Right. We think of it as passive, like our eyes are just recording the world, right? But Bergson flips that, like that example in the text. A cat catching a mouse. The cat doesn't see the mouse's actual speed, like in a physics textbook.
Not doing calculations on the fly or anything.
Right. What the cat perceives, it's the mouse's speed relative to its own ability to, you know, pounce, to react, to act.
So the cat's perception is all about survival, about being able to exist in that moment.
Exactly. Bergson's saying our perception is tied to how we move through the world. It's not a perfect mirror. It's more like, I don't know, a user interface for surviving. And that leads us to this whole idea you pulled out about perception happening at a certain like scale of time. We're attuned to a specific tempo of reality.
Right, it's like we have to filter out tons of information every second, or our brains would just short circuit the example in the excerpt about the fly's wings. We see the blur. But imagine seeing each flap.
Our whole experience would be different. We're built to process the world at a certain speed, just like, well, think of a computer. Makes you wonder, right, what do we even mean by objective truth if our senses are limited by our own hardware?
Right, like there's no one fixed reality. Maybe we're all missing something. And speaking of missing things, this connection Bergson makes between memory and the holographic universe.
No.
That's wild. Not your typical view of memory at all.
Totally. We think of memory like a file cabinet, right? Storing events from the past. But Bergson, he's seeing it as way more active. It's woven right into what we're experiencing now.
So not just a record, but something that's shaping how we see and do things in this moment.
Right. And that's where the holographic universe comes in. You highlighted this part about how in a hologram, even a tiny piece has info about the whole thing. Maybe our memories work like that too.
But every memory's like a little window into our entire experience.
Yeah. And that makes you rethink time. Even if every memory's got echoes of everything else, then is the past really so separate from now?
Whoa, okay, my head's spinning a bit. Perception tied to action, memory mixing with the present, and then you've got this becoming from the Bergson Deleuze and the becoming of unbecoming text. It's like even the words are moving.
Becoming is perfect for Bergson, though. He's saying reality's not static, not these fixed things. It's all constantly changing,
You
transforming.
like labels, boxes, right? But Bergson's saying, nope, everything's in motion, even us.
Exactly. See the world as this flow, this, I don't know, dance of energy instead of separate objects.
That is a big shift when you really try to see it that way. But then so much of what we've read about Bergson is like that, pushing boundaries.
Definitely. And this radical perspective, it might be key to his views on cinema, which, that's up next, seems like a leap from deep thoughts to movies. But Bergson saw a link.
It's a leap, all right, I'll admit. When I saw we were getting into Bergson on cinema, I was like, where's this going? But now that we've talked about how he sees perception, time, I'm starting to get it. Maybe.
It's kind of brilliant, actually. Bergson, he saw movies as this metaphor, right, for how our minds work. I mean, what's a film? Still images, one after the other. But we don't see it that way.
Our brains, we fill in the blanks, right? Make it this smooth motion, even though it's snapshots.
Exactly. And Bergson says maybe our everyday reality, it's not so different, like a film projector. Our minds are taking these moments, these perceptions, and putting them together to make time feel like it's flowing.
And that's duration again, isn't it? Not just clock time, but time, how we feel it inside.
You got it. And Bergson would say that feeling, that lived experience of duration, it's huge. It's at the core of who we are, how we see things, everything.
Makes you think about those times when, I don't know, time flies or drags on forever. Mm-hmm. Like our own minds are changing the speed of the projector.
Right. And here's where Bergson gets, well, kind of freeing, but also kind of scary. If he's right, then our reality, even time, it's all subjective, happening in our heads.
Which leads us to that last question you had, right? From the Bergson Conception of Duration text. That really digs into how slippery the present moment is. If it's always on the edge of becoming the past, can we ever really hold on to it?
$1 million question, right? It's like Bergson's pushing us to ask, is the present moment an illusion, something we make up to handle this constant becoming?
Whoa. Okay, that's something to think about. And I guess that's what makes Bergson so, I don't know, rewarding to read, even if it's more questions than answers.
For sure. I mean, over 100 years later, and this stuff still messes with our heads. Makes us rethink everything we thought we knew about the world, about being in the world.
Well, after that whirlwind tour, perception, memory, movies, what time even is, Bergson's definitely given us a lot to unpack. What's sticking with you most from all this?
You know, it's duration that I keep coming back to. How powerful it is that we experience time in a way that clocks can't even touch.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm gonna be looking at those moments when time seems to shift in a whole new way, thanks to Bergson.
It's like he's given us new lenses, right? To see not just the world out there, but the one inside us too. And on that note, I think we've more than covered your deep dive today.